Movies with Subaru. Do more with a deal from Subaru.
And morena to Francesca Rudkin. Oh, and there you go.
Good morning.
Good morning. We're going to start with Trainspotting 2 this morning, or T2 Trainspotting as it's known, however many years since the original was first released. This is T2.
Choose reality TV, slut-shaming, revenge porn. Yeah. Choose a zero-hour contract, a two-hour journey to work, and choose the same for your kids, only worse. And smother the pain with an unknown dose of an unknown drug made in somebody's kitchen. And then, take a deep breath.
I'm excited about this.
The Choose Life speech is better this time around, I think.
Yeah.
So we just heard a little bit of it there. a colleague of mine at the Herald said to me, hey, look, don't read about this film. Don't find out what it's about. Don't find out, you know, anything about the story. Just go to it.
You're about to make everyone turn off their radio,
yeah,
aren't you?
So I'm not going to talk about it. No, because he's right. It's fantastic. What I will say about the narrative is that all the original characters do return and there is a sense of closure that takes place. But I'm not going to tell you anything more about that because I think part of the fun is just seeing actually where this story goes. It has a really nostalgic air to it. I mean, even one of the characters talks about being a tourist in his own memory. However, the film was also very current and very relevant, as you probably just heard in that Choose Life speech there. The original was known for being unique and imaginative and sort of unafraid of being very honest and tragic, but also, you know, full of hope. It was this anti-drug film. And this very much carries on here. We still have the Dutch tilt angles and really fabulous music, and it's all edited to music and it's fast paced. And there are little touches in here which are fantastic. You actually hear some of the soundtrack from the original. It just pops up very briefly and then pulls back again. So there's a real connection to the previous film, which was released in 1996, and this film sort of carries on the spirit of Trainspotting.
Yeah.
But it's supposed to be a standalone film, but from what I've just been saying, you can probably tell that I actually think you're going to get a lot more out of this film, excuse me, if you've actually seen the original.
Sure.
Because what you've got here is a group of men who 20 years later are reflecting on their life and what's become of their lives and the decisions that they've made, and they're really kind of just having a little midlife crisis,
yeah,
moment. And I think you're going to relate to that a lot more if you remember them,
okay,
from the original.
Okay.
But it's absolutely fantastic. It is a blast. It's got everything you want. It's got the violence and it's got sex and it's got the drugs and it's got vomit.
Fantastic.
But it is slightly more mature.
Right.
I will say that, yeah. There we go.
Okay, what's your verdict for Trainspotting?
4 stars out of 5.
Nice. Next up we have psychological horror Rings.
Yes. Now, I don't know if you remember, but in 2002, there was a film called The Ring released, and it starred Naomi Watts and Martin Henderson, our very own Martin Henderson. And it was a breakout hit, actually.
Yeah.
It was a remake of a Japanese film, and it had a relatively small budget, and it was huge at the box office, basically because as a horror film, it didn't rely on just blood and gore and things. It created these very moody, atmospheric. It was just visuals and things and music.
Yeah.
It was really creepy. It,
yeah,
creeped you out. So we are now 3 films in. This is actually, Rings is actually The Ring 3. And what I think's happened here is that they've tried to sort of, it's exactly the same premise. You watch a video and 7 days later you die unless you make a copy of it and get someone else to watch it. It's as simple as that. That's the premise. So this is sort of a Rings for a new generation where there's file sharing involved and,
yeah,
things. But it's one of those films that, you know, there's just a little thread hanging down. You pull that thread and the whole thing just unravels.
Yeah.
And it just didn't make a lot of sense. It was very cliched. It was very, everything was very obvious. It had lost that really creepy kind of, and creepy feeling and that sense of dread that the original had.
Yeah.
So it was just a little bit of a disappointment. I mean, if you like those kind of video game franchises, you know, you watch a video and something,
yeah,
happens, like, you'll enjoy it. But yeah, no, it just didn't quite hit the mark for me. So I gave that 1.5.
Oh, 1.5. Okay, yeah, fair enough. No, okay, I won't be avoiding. I will be avoiding that. Then you're going to be tuning in on Monday?
Oh, yeah.
The Oscars?
I think Monday's going to be really interesting because normally with the Oscars, you get a bit of a vibe about which way things are going.
Yeah.
And this year, I don't know whether it's a hangover from the unpredictability of 2016, but you know, no, you're not really too sure which way Hollywood's going to go. I think there are about three different narratives that could take place. One is that La La Land will just, everyone will go, we love this delightful, charming film. It's light. It celebrates Hollywood, which Hollywood loves. And it celebrates musicals. Let's just pick this happy number. I think the second thing that could happen is that, you know, there'll be a real change to last year's Oscars So White, and there are some incredible, coloured nominees from Dev Patel through to Barry Jenkins. And I think, you know, we might see a response to sort of last year's Oscar So White campaign. And I think the other thing too is that there'll be a real political element taking place, especially within the documentary fields and best foreign language film. I think we're going to see Hollywood making quite a stand politically as well. So I think anything could happen.
I just hope it doesn't become a Trump fest. I just, honestly, I'm just not into the idea of having 15 speeches
where
everyone's like, I'm going to use this platform to say.
I know. I agree. And the interesting thing is there's some stunning films in there that talk about really important, relevant themes that don't all have to come back to Trump. I'm being really naive and optimistic about Monday. I've decided that actually, for once, Hollywood's going to do what's right. They're going to actually... they're going to say, you know what? Let's give Best Picture to La La Land. Let's give Barry Jenkins Best Director for Moonlight. Casey Affleck's going to win Actor. Emma Stone's going to take away the Actress. Viola Davis is going to take away, you know, Best Supporting Actress. I'm determined this year that I'm holding on to the belief that this year... the right people are going to win, the people that deserve to win for no other reason that they created an incredible film or put forward an incredible performance. They're the people that are going to win.
Hey, Francesca.
I'm going to hold on to that.
Good luck with that.
There, cheers.